How is it going with you and family? Are they all good?
Yeah, everybody's fine. I've gotten my dad to read some though, and I've been having him read the newsletter, so hopefully he's moving in the right direction.
That's good. Great. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the article, A Babylon the Great?
I liked it. He's been actually, you know, trying to understand a little bit more, because over the years I've been, you know, trying to get him to read some. So he's been kind of reading here and there, and seems to be more interested in it. And also, the woman who made the offer on our property didn't come through, but I'm still going on the idea that, you know, we want to move out there. Mm-hmm. And so that's also helping him to, he says sometimes he's on the brink of putting everything behind him, which, you know, which I'm telling him is a good thing to have, not to just be lukewarm, you know, for him to be hot or cold, to be, you know, looking to do some change.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Sorry that that woman didn't come through. I hope that another opportunity presents itself and God's will manifests.
Yeah, now I have to do a little bit more work on marketing and getting a few things ready, because that was a fast as-is mm-hmm. Offer. But one of the things I have done, due to your inspiration, is I'm sitting next to my organic seedlings here. I'm starting an organic garden this summer.
That's funny. Thanks, God.
Yeah. But now that I have high-speed internet, I can keep you abreast with some pictures, too. And that's provided the animals don't get to it, because just two nights ago I had a bear just right outside my door, which about scared me to death. I also got a big old groundhog here that just continuously digging holes around the house. So, and a couple extra deer and rabbits and chipmunks. So I may have to put a it's what my grandfather did for the years that he had a fence or a garden here, is he had electric fence around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you think one of them might dig up the internet line, huh?
Yeah, he always, my grandfather used a combination of electric fence and a double-barrel shotgun.
It's a powerful combination. So, hello, Maverick. Is your sound working?
Hello, Maverick.
Or can you hear us at least?
No. Actually, some people already are in the process of moving toward New Mexico.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't know anybody knew or not. Many groups believe this is the place of gathering.
Well, we've already started the meeting and started discussing, but I think that before we go any further, it would be nice if we take a moment of silence and bring ourselves completely to the meeting and focus on God. Okay, go ahead with what you wanted to say, Katharina.
I live in Europe, and I live in the Netherlands. Very small country, but when I was reading, talking about New Mexico, I thought we can all run to New Mexico because we may be afraid or something like that. But what about leaving the people? I'm always here with the people, and people are leaning on me, and I support them mentally for everything, giving them trust, teaching them about God, helping him to meditate, and I have no any sense or feeling or wish to run away from here, because maybe something can happen. I know that things will happen, but why should I run?
Well, maybe it's God's will that you stay. It's possible, but. New Mexico is going to be one of the safest places, and it's a point of gathering for the mission. The question is if you can do more good for God there or here, really, that's the key question, because there are many people to help all over the world, and for most of us, it seems that the most help could be by gathering together in this one area and developing a strength and a base for the mission. But it's not true for everyone. Again, Eunice is in Turkey and has tried extremely hard to come to New Mexico, and it's just not happened. So we have to assume that in his case, it's God's will that he does not come. But in general, we want to create a base of operations here, and we encourage people to try to come here and see if it is God's will. You know, if you try and it doesn't work, then you can be more sure. But if you don't try at all, then you never know. Does that make sense?
Yes, I trust always because I travel a lot, and you know that many things happen around the world, and whenever I'm somewhere, you know, or when there's a bomb attack or anything, I'm just in front of that, or I come a little later when it happens. I'm never there when the accidents happen. I'm always safe. And I trust that much in the leadership of God that, he leads me. So there's for me, I just react on the deep impulses I get. And last time I was reacting on impulses because I was invited in India. And I had such strong wish before the invitation to go there. And then suddenly when I was invited, I said, I didn't have to go. I should not go. So same on the wish was very strong to go there. I thought, thank you so much for the invitation, but I will postpone this. I must wait. And right after that, so many good things happened over here. And I was just here present, managing all those good things. So I just trust in that.
All right. If that is God, then great.
I'm sure.
Actually, those who have been chosen to be in this process, they don't have to worry where they are. No matter where you are, you will be saved.
Yes. Safe. I'm very sure, very, very, very sure of that. I feel like a protected one already all my life. I'm so strongly protected, and my trust is so strong, and my belief is so without any doubt. I cannot imagine that after all the good things I could do, they will take me out of this. I can't believe that.
Yeah. Only those who truly want to be serving the mission and serving the Lord and wants to be in the safe place, they should consider coming here. Otherwise, no matter where you are, if you are a part of God's plan, you don't have to worry about it.
Because people are needed everywhere, I think. I would like to go to New Mexico. No problem at all, because I'm busy to travel anyway to the States. But yeah, what is the right time? What is the right moment? When is there a meeting? How can I meet the people? There are questions.
Go ahead, Kyosha.
Well, go ahead, Sarah, and then I'll go after you.
Well, I was just going to say it's great to hear that there are some people who are really moving in this direction, because we've got a lot to do. We have to create a center and really get this mission going.
That's a great lead-in, because I was just going to say that, Maverick and I have been doing a lot of connecting, and I know he's trying to head out in that direction, and I'm going to be there hopefully by next year as soon as I sell this place and can get out of here. I want to be there as soon as I can, and so reiterating this, also for Brad and Fabrizio, because they have both expressed interest in being out near the mission. So I just wanted to let you all know that, you know, we're open to the possibility of a bunch of people sharing a place, you know, maybe a house or something like that, and just all keeping our focus on the mission and doing the mission work.
And of course, there are some places you will be safe, you know, as Maitreya said, if you're one of the ones chosen to implement his plan, then you will be safe. But there are some places that are definitely not safe, such as Japan.
Is the northern part of Europe safe?
I'm not sure. We don't really predict the future of specific areas unless something very clearly happens. And in the case of Japan, something very clearly happened. And if you all read the article by Maitreya in this most recent news brief, you will know that our belief is that Japan was Babylon the Great, and it has fallen. Mm-hmm. And that is a very unsafe place. So
I had forecasting dreams, and I dreamt that there were water floods over here very strongly. But I was still alive, and I was not worried. I was looking at the water. I couldn't turn back to home. And I thought, you know, I'll just wait a while. I can stay somewhere. I don't know where, but I just ask people. And I'll be fine. And that was the last vision I had. Water floods.
That is one thing about the Netherlands, is so much of the land is below the sea level that if something did happen, you know, that could cause a lot of problems. So it's just you can sort of figure out some parts of it by looking at where you are. So, I mean, now that we know that what happened with Japan, you know, that earthquake and tsunami destroyed the nuclear reactor so badly, and still they're fighting every day to make sure it doesn't get worse. And, you know, we just found an article that explains how there's a nuclear plant right at the edge of the coast over a fault line in California, and they just did an inspection of it, and it's not safe at all. It's full of problems. So, like, if you were near that area, you know, that's kind of a warning sign. And there's another one in New York. You know, those are problems. Those are places where God really has to do very little to cause a lot of destruction. So, it's
If I want to meet you all in New Mexico, how will I do that?
Take a plane, eh?
Yeah, just come on over.
And, Maitreya, you mentioned people are moving to Mexico. Did you mean, like, people in general, even those who are not in the mission? Sure.
Well, there are some groups that also, beside us, believe that this is the place of gathering, and actually they also are waiting for a lot of people come and join them here, and they say there is going to be an awakening that all eventually will realize that they are in the kindred spirit, and they will gather together. Of course, it doesn't need to be all here in New Mexico, but all over the world, they have the same kind of a feeling of the unity, and they believe there is one world. But they don't know how it's going to happen. I guess we know how it's going to happen, but that's why we have to spread the word and gather them and make them realize that this is the way to do it. And so there are a lot of groups that also living around here that have that feeling, but they have eventually to realize that in order to unify, they have to come under the banner of the mission. And of course, some people also like, you know, as Kyosha and Maverick, and Brad, and, you know, people like that, they want to come here. I just got an email from Vibruzzo that he wants to say farewell to everyone, and apparently he wants to become completely isolated in a place continue. Vibruzzo, go ahead if you want to take the mic.
Yeah, well, thank you. I had a little problem logging in. I thought maybe the meeting was canceled or something. I finally had to re-download the application, so it took some time. In the meantime, I kind of panicked that I wouldn't get my message across, so I sent you that email.
No, that wasn't you, Vibruzzo. We had a problem on our side. So
everybody had a problem.
All right. I thought it was just me having a problem, so it's a universal problem.
Yeah.
Sorry for your problems. anyhow, I don't know if I won't go into too much detail, but my life has been in sort of an upheaval the last few months. Lost my job, found out that I have a health condition which could be terminating my life at any point. So I'm like living from day to day and not really knowing what to expect next. But I was guided to a situation, just as Catherine was talking about being guided. A friend of mine has a farm on about 150 acres in northern North Carolina near the Virginia border. The farm has been sitting vacant for 8 years. It's rather remote, and he was concerned about having that property unprotected. And it's about 3.5 to 4 hours from where he lives, so he can't check on it. Anyhow, he invited me to live on the property. There's some repair work to be done to some of the buildings, and the floor fell out of the room that I was going to be using. So, you know, I have my hands full with some carpentry work. But it's really quiet, remote. The closest town of about 800 people is 25 miles away. It's a seclusion that I've been looking for. I've spent the better part of the last 2 weeks there, and I feel very calm when I'm there, very relaxed, except I will not have a cable connection for television. I won't have a telephone, and I won't have an internet connection. And I can't even get a cell phone signal, so I'll be totally isolated. I've got to drive 25 miles to get a cell phone signal. So I'll be out of touch for a while. But I've got my books. This will give me an opportunity to read though from cover to cover and really get into it without just reading a topic here and a topic there. I have to admit I've never read it from cover to cover. And I also have to admit that I don't totally accept the whole Abrahamic emphasis. I need to learn more about it, I guess. Grew up under a Christian background and totally reject Christianity. So I need to do a little more intensive study and find what there is. And I think this is the only way to do it, is to study Thoreau. Because every other book that I've touched on that tries to explain Christianity or Judaism seems to be very biased, either totally for it or totally against it. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at right now. So this will probably be my last time on the internet, my last time coming to this room. And I don't know what's next, but I'll just continue working my path as it's revealed to me, and who knows when or where I'll pop up again.
All right. We appreciate you telling us.
Well, go ahead.
No, please.
Well, we hope you enjoy whatever you're going to do, and it works for you. And hopefully that's what you want, but that's what God wants for you to be done. And good luck.
And we are always here, you know.
Yeah.
In the future, in the next step. So sounds good.
Well, thank you. I don't know how long it will take me to return, or if someday I'll be able to get an internet connection. But those things will come when they're needed, and I'll just wait until that's a possibility. That's all I can do.
All righty. Well, enjoy your last meeting.
Thank you.
And Kiyosha, could you turn off Pal Talk, by the way? Because there are sounds coming through from it.
From me?
Oh. I think so.
Okay, sure. Okay. It's off.
Great. Thanks, Kat. So are there any other comments about the news brief, about Babylon the Great, about Japan? Did any of you have any thoughts about who Babylon the Great might have been before this article? Did it make sense to you? Did it clarify, you know? Let's talk about it. What do you guys think?
Everything was making sense to me.
Yeah.
I thought the article was really great. I enjoyed it. I was talking about it with people last night.
Great.
We have every week meetings with a big group of people, and we were talking about it, and it was so logical. It was totally logical and understandable. But we were also talking about that meteorite is entering the planet Earth. Is anybody informed about that?
Well, wait a minute. That's the comet in a Heinemann, or I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's not coming to the Earth. It's entering the solar system, not necessarily having anything to do with the Earth. The interesting thing about this comet is that it's one very large comet that was only recently discovered within the last 10 years. And now as it's getting in a slightly different perspective, astronomers all over the world are reporting that there seems to be some sort of an organized following, objects flying in what seems to be some sort of a pattern following this comet, which has never been observed before. So that's the interesting part of this. If that's true, then it might not be a comet, and the objects following it, they just say objects. Nobody's saying what the objects are, but the fact that they're flying in a formation indicates that they are under some control of some intelligence. So right away, of course, we assume they're coming to the Earth, they're coming to get us. But we have to realize that we're a very insignificant part of the universe. When viewing this solar system from their point of view, from external to the solar system, if Jupiter was the size of a basketball, we'd be the size of a chickpea. I mean, we'd hardly be relevant, you know. So I don't believe that some great armada of space invaders are crossing the universe to invade this little pea of a planet. It doesn't make sense. That's all.
Is the comet called Holmes?
Well, there were forecastings also that about this comet, because he was in an unpleasant direction, and it would come very close to planet Earth. And now it's coming closer and closer, and there was speaking of it. And we have the Vatican in Rome. And many years ago, there were children. They had big visions, and they saw a lot of fire on this planet. And they were talking about this huge, a comet from space, and a lot of destruction on the planet. And they went also to the Vatican, and the Vatican was hiding all that information very well, just to make no panic, because the visions from the children were very, very strong. So,
well,
What's the name of the comet, do you know?
No, I don't know the name.
It's not Holmes.
Look up, I put a message in the... in the chat section, and I believe the comet is spelled E-I-N-H-E-N-E-N. It's named after the person who discovered it. I'm not actually sure about the spelling.
What was that, E-I-N?
E-I-N. If you scroll up on the, I don't know, is anything coming through in the chat box?
Yeah, I can see it. Here, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, and to me what's really amazing is that it's not getting very much coverage, and it almost makes Ronald Reagan a prophet, because he said back in the early 80s, what would the reaction of the world be if we knew we were being invaded by an alien force from, you know, off the planet? Then all the nations of the world would have to join together to fight this invading force. So here we are with what appears to be an incoming invasion from outer space. But as much of a conspiracy theorist as I tend to be, I'm having a hard time accepting this as a space invasion for reasons previously stated. I don't think that the universe would go through that much trouble for the planet Earth. But we might be a little side stop on the way to wherever it is they're going. Maybe they're going to steal the sun or something. I really don't know. I find it hard to see the Earth as a primary target for this massive invasion.
Well, don't forget that the don't forget that the world is supposed to end in 3 days. So maybe they're going to come check it out. So. But actually, I can't find this comment. I'm sorry, Vibrizo. I looked up the spelling you gave me, and it corrected it to something else, and all the pages are in German. But I can't really tell.
It is Eindhoven.
Eindhoven.
That sounds better. H-O-V-E-N. And if it's in German, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means it's
Eindhoven.
Auf Deutsch.
Right, but if it's, so, it's such a big comment, I would have expected more than just German. Yeah, this makes more sense. Eindhoven. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what surprises me, because the suspicion among us conspiracy theorists is that the media is controlled and they only report what the government tells them to report. And they've been told not to report this comet, but it is in all the alternate news. I mean, it's all over the internet. I get my news from the whatdoesitmean.com, which seems to be an outlet for the Russian intelligence network. But anyhow, they're quite open about it. It's coming. It's been known for almost 10 years now, but it's just now starting to concern people because they discovered that it has a following. That's the amazing part of all this.
Well, there are prophecies. There are many Native American prophecies that say that something is going to fall out of the sky, and that will cause a lot of problems. And it's also in the Revelation that in a couple news briefs ago, we wrote that the BP oil spill seemed to be related to some verses in the Revelation talking of, that seemed to be very related. And the next thing that was prophesied in the Revelation to come after that is something falling out of the sky. So who knows? But again, as we have said many times, really the path by which destruction comes is not important, and the focus should not be on the destruction. The focus should be on the light at the end of the tunnel and the mission we have to accomplish now, because we know it's going to come. It's no longer a surprise. And how it happens, you know, whatever. It could be a comet, it could be something else, it could be aliens. But what we know is that at the end of that, we have to be there with the mission and arms outstretched with this new revelation. So, again, we, you know, let's focus on that. Let's focus on the good part.
Watch the end of the tunnel, huh? Light in the end.
It's hard to say what's good, what's bad. I mean, would the ending of, let's say, of human life on this planet be a good thing or a bad thing? Well, from our point of view, of course, it's a bad thing. From the point of view of the planet, it would be a good thing. I mean, we were put here to be the shepherds of this planet, to be the caretakers and protectors, and instead we've become the destroyers and the parasites. So humanity in general is not fulfilling its mission. So maybe some greater intelligence decided it's time to clean it up and repopulate it with something more beneficial to the planet. But that's assuming, once again, that Earth takes this central importance position in the universe. And that's the point that I can't get over. Why would this planet be of such great importance that an entire fleet of alien invaders have got to cross the universe to come here and wipe it clean?
Also, that's not consistent with what God says in the scriptures. You know, God doesn't say that it's going to wipe out humanity. God says that, you know, many will die, there will be great destruction, and those that come out will be different. That we will treat the earth correctly because we will have this revelation, and only those who are the elects will be reincarnated for that period. So it's just not consistent with the scriptures. It's not consistent with what God says. Yes, we are destroying the earth right now. Yes, we have not been good caretakers. But we are put here for a reason. God created the evolutionary process and created humans for a reason. And he's not going to just destroy everything he created. There is a plan. So.
Exactly. He won't destroy everything he created.
And also,
you know, God, we are the hands of God. And we are here not for nothing. It was planned that planet Earth was a paradise. And we have to build it up again. And planet Earth is cleaning itself once in a while. It is destroying the life, which is too much. So planet Earth needs a little rest.
Are you going to say something, Ennis?
I was going to say, even if you look at the like the things from a purely scientific perspective.
The sound is very low, Ennis.
Even at the time of the dinosaurs. Oh, is it any better now?
Can you speak a little more?
I was saying, even at the time of the dinosaurs, even
still a little low. Not, if you could turn it up any more.
Well, is it all the way up? But I don't know why.
Okay.
We can hear you.
Okay. I'll just speak a little louder. Even at the time of the dinosaurs, even the dinosaurs were not eliminated like totally, but we know they some of the species turn into like what we know as birds now, and even that species were destroyed. It was a it brought a chance to the others like the mammals to spread all over the earth. So, and just like and as Nur said, the scriptures give a good point of this. It's this. Separation of the wheat from the chaff. So we should not expect the humankind to be widespread, you know, from washed out of the earth totally.
I was just reading commentaries on St. Matthew and Tho, and, you know, the part where Christ says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a farmer who plants wheat, good seed, and then in the night the enemies come and plant
tares.
Yeah, tares, which I guess are a weed. And then the farmer says, let them both grow together, and at the end we'll harvest both, and the wheat will be saved, and the tares will be cast away. So that is now. That is this time.
Oh, I thought that's where multigrain bread came from.
Well, we have that now, too. So both interpretations.
But I think the
well, please go ahead.
I think that you know, all things are temporary. The if the greater system here is that it's created, the system is created to advance consciousness and the evolutionary system, you know, that brings us here. The object is not the earth, the object is the consciousness, the pure consciousness, not the manifested earth. And not even, you know, our manifested bodies, it's our consciousness. And so this system is created in a step-by-step process. And even though we've abused it, that's part of what the new, you know, new kingdom will be us seeing that how this was created and how we were to use it to our advantage and not for ego and, you know, the different physical things, but to use it as the advancement of our spirit.
Totally.
Okay, but are we in agreement that the present state of things appears not to be what God intended? That I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about humanity in general is definitely going in the wrong direction. I think, you know, that's almost a given, isn't it?
Definitely not what God
predicted that.
Exactly. Not what God intended, but what God expected. It does not mean he's not in control. It was known to happen from the beginning. God prophesied it 2,000 years ago in the Revelation. So he knows humans. He still is in control. But you're right. It would be best if they turned around and came to God. But he knew they wouldn't even all the way back then. So.
And I think there's always a certain amount that we learn by our mistakes.
Okay, and I guess we refer to God as he, as just as a matter of convenience. Because I also have a hard time accepting a God that has human qualities, like wants and needs and expects and all that. I think this universal consciousness thing that does not expect or need anything, but has projected a set of universal laws that if followed, life prospers. And if we act contrary to those laws, life suffers. But whether or not there's a consciousness that intervenes in each of our lives, I'm having a hard time with that concept also.
You know, that God consciousness is only bringing things always back in balance. That's the only task it's the only thing it's doing, and the balance is harmony, it's love, and love is the same as harmony. So the universe knows only God's law, and God's law is just balance. It's a perfect state of balance. And nature and is listening to those laws. And nature is trying to bring itself always back in balance. And I think that are the forces what are going on.
And I also think that some of these questions that you have, I think I benefited greatly. And when you're talking about reading Thoreau cover to cover, it is the book, I believe, sealed, the seventh seal, and the mystery of God is finished. When you read through it and meditate it on those kind of questions, and I think most people in this room have seen that vision and have that understanding that they could all answer the questions on the various levels of consciousness and those things that you're talking about. So I think a recommendation always to everybody on the planet would be to read it cover to cover.
Definitely. Good recommendation.
Couldn't say it better, Brad. Great. Yes, all this question that you're discussing right now, even that you raised up and brought up, it's been answered. God is in different level of manifestation. In the highest level, he even doesn't care about this creation. He's absolutely self-absorbed to complete, they call it nirvana, nothingness. That he's just absolutely, in perfect his own self. Doesn't need anything or creation or anything. In another level, it's manifested and is concerned about the creation. And in another level, it manifests itself on Earth. In another level, it just struggles to go back. So it's in one level, he's male. In another level, he's female. In the highest level, he's neither male and female. In one level, he's both. So it's just, if you read though, as Brad well said it, you will reach your answers. They're already revealed.
It goes back to the idea of infinity and how impossible it is to comprehend it with the mind. It's not just infinity of physical space. It's not the idea that the universe is infinite. It's also infinity in levels of consciousness, infinity in all levels. It's something that it's explained in Tho, but then only fully comprehended through experience.
Good job. Yeah, I fully intend to do that. I intend to sort of live the life of a secluded monk, following my own path, studying that which I think will bring me to some truth. But I expect to learn as much from nature and seclusion as I do from books. So I think, the answer is there for those who seek it and whose mind is open to recognize answers that may not be what we expect. That's my feeling.
Even that we recommend, that's called vision quest. You are in a vision quest, and that is very good.
And one comment, I myself was somewhat in that same thing, thinking I was going to be the next Henry Thoreau. But one conclusion that came somewhere in there was that no man is an island.
I will say, though, that a vision quest on a farm is a very good place to be right now. So.
Yeah, and this farm has, let's say, room to grow. I've got a lot of fields that can be cultivated, which I intend to start that little farm that we talked about a couple of months ago, if I can do
Great.
It by myself. I don't know anything about growing anything. I mean,
Well, if your friend donate that land to the mission, we all come there.
I would love that, but he's a Southern Baptist, and one of his first questions to me is, have you been saved? And I said, well, what do you mean, saved from what? I'm not in any danger. He said, no, have you met Jesus? All right, if you've been saved. I said, let's talk about something else, okay? I don't know if I could get him to agree to a community of light unless I can convert him while he's trying to convert me.
Tell him, ask him if there is only one God, why we have so many religions.
I already tried that approach. Either all the others are wrong.
Yep.
That makes for an awful narrow-minded God.
Sure does.
That was my immediate answer. You mean that God is very picky and choosy? He doesn't love all people, just those who, go to the Baptist church on Sunday? That's it?
Mm-hmm. Didn't God create us all? Why he didn't create us perfect? And if he created everyone, how can we go wrong?
There's a thousand good retorts to the Southern Baptists' claim that, you must follow their way or else. But they don't want to hear them. They're not going to listen to it. They're not going to accept any other point of view other than what they get in their own particular approach in Bible studies. And I found it's not worth it to argue the point. It's, and Mitra, you said many times yourself that you won't argue about religion, but you will discuss it. And I have to take the same approach. I won't argue about it.
For sure. You can't convince
actually, what I say is mostly for our benefit, not to argue with him at all. Sure. Go ahead, Isaac.
That's all I had to say. You can't convince them. It's not possible. they convince themselves or they don't. That's it. You just give them the resource.
But plant the seed. Maybe not in this lifetime. Next lifetime, it might hit them hard.
Well, my seed will be by example, by my actions, not by my words.
That's even better.
Actually, both are needed.
So how's everyone else doing? Anything you've been dying to say?
I was just thinking about that question you asked earlier, about if we ever thought about Japan being a symbol for the Babylon the Great. I sure never did thought about that. I wasn't expecting Japan to be the symbol of that.
Yeah, me neither.
I never did as well, and I was floored, just floored by that newsletter. I could not put it down from the beginning to the end of it. And anyways, it just really has strengthened my resolve to do what I need to do to be helpful to the mission and do my Dharma.
Yes, I would totally agree with that.
After reading that, it was kind of one of those, the hindsight was you start reading it and then I start thinking about it and you can see over and over again where it makes sense because of the way Japan has fallen away from their spirituality and the more and more I read that and thought about it, the more it started, it made more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was thinking the United States was more applicable to the new Babylon, but it does make sense that Japan, because of the way it's mastered technology and it's sort of the leading economy in Asia, that could also be considered to be Babylon.
Well, Vibrizo, just wait till next...
The United States still has its foot in the door of total collapse. I mean, we're not far. We might not have a tsunami or a nuclear reactor meltdown, but we've got an economic meltdown coming that will equal the damage that was done in Japan.
Vibrizo, just wait till next news brief. The U.S. had a part to play.
Uh-oh.
My chair already knows what his article is going to be. You guys are going to love it.
This guy knows my secrets, huh?
There's no secrets in the community of light.
That is the truth. That's why you guys know what's the article next month.
Every secret thing will be revealed.
So is this one of those teasers where we now we're all going to have to work?
Gonna have
you
to
got
work.
It.
Rabriza, you're going to have to drive 25 miles next 2 months from now. Make sure you get that one.
Yeah, well, I still don't have an internet connection, and my cell phone doesn't even take text messages. So I'm kind of technologically incapacitated for a while.
Maybe you can get someone to print it out and mail it to you.
Hey, could you do that? Seriously.
Send us your mailing. Mm-hmm, sure.
I don't know what my address will be out there. There's no mailbox. But I'll find some way to get mail.
Sounds good.
If you have a post office nearby, I know from backpacking in the middle of nowhere, you can send things general delivery to a small post office and they'll hold them for you.
Okay. I'll check into that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. I think many people think about the United States as the Babylon the Great, just like Vibrizo said. And I think people will be surprised to find out what Kabbalah means. Mm-hmm.
And it's such an amazing warning. Oh, go ahead, Kesha.
Well, I was just going to say, though, with that article, it just made so much sense as Japan, you know, just so fit. The way that Maitreya explained it, of course, it was just perfect. It, you know, just really, really shows what Babylon the Great means.
Actually, I don't know if you read the news after the article went out. Japan actually extended the area that is affected with the radiation, for it's even they're going in farther and farther, and the radiation is little by little affecting more and more of the island. And if the whole island become affected, then for 10,000 years, nobody can live there.
And they've already dumped, I think, millions of gallons of radioactive water to make room for more millions of gallons because they need it. And one, at least, remember, there were three explosions in three reactors, I think, or maybe even four. I think three. And
Four.
There were four explosions in four, like, sections of that nuclear plant, four reactors. And none of them have been contained yet. It's still a day-to-day battle. You know, it's not like this is over. It's not even close. And, in fact, one of them has already completely melted down. It was a small announcement. It didn't make the big news for some reason. But they say that they think it's breached the floor. So, you know.
I heard that, too. Yeah.
It's not good. Not good at all.
And so now we've got oil and radiation in the ocean.
Yep.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how after a big story breaks, and that's the focus of all the news media for weeks or even months, that once that story falls off the public interest charts, it just goes away. There's no follow-up. Other than, you know, on the internet, if you really want to dig out, you know, search for it. We still have oil oozing in the Gulf. There's still oil on the floor of the Gulf and more coming all the time. That's mm-hmm. not over. In spite of what BP claims that they've cleaned up the Gulf and come on back and enjoy our beaches, the floor of the Gulf has still got oil on it.
Oh, yeah.
And the radiation from Japan, what I've read, has already reached some parts of the United States, the airborne mm-hmm. radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, imagine what happens when Yellowstone erupts.
Mm-hmm. That's another interesting Native American prophecy, actually, which is that I don't remember what was the volcano that exploded in America, the big one, St. Helens, right? Yeah. So I believe there's a Native American prophecy that says, like, first the son will speak and then the grandfather or something like that. And the belief is that the son was Mount St. Helens and the father is, I think, Mount Taylor. And so a lot of Native Americans are expecting another even larger explosion sometime in the future. So we'll see.
Well, in spite of all the information that's available, it's amazing how many people fail to understand that Yellowstone is one of the world's largest active volcanoes. It just happens to be an underground caldera and not one that rises up in a big cone. But it's a very active area, and things have been happening there for the last 2 or 3 years that have the geologists trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen next, but they all agree that it's very active and becoming more active. But you don't hear that on the evening news either.
Does it call it the Old Faithful, that water comes out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's just one of the symptoms of geological activity. There's many others. There's places in the Yellowstone Park that are closed off to tourists because you can't walk there. Your shoes will melt. Mm-hmm. The ground is so hot.
Yeah, there is a great sense of complacency when there should not be. But, I mean, I get it. I mean, before the mission, I was the same way. You sort of assume that things are okay. You assume that people know what they're doing. But it's not true. It's just...
There was a new article that came out on here, too. And it says that the cell phones are now interfering very badly with the bees. So, like, your article talked a little bit, I think, more about the bees, but the cell phones are also interfering with that whole process with bees because it's disorienting them from the wavelengths that are going through the air.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know they made cell phones small enough for the bees to use.
Oh, how they... Pretty small now, Brees. What do you make?
As long as they don't text and fly, we'll probably get it.
I didn't mean to make light of that comment because the disappearance of the bees is actually a major agricultural problem. The beehives are vacating at an alarming rate. Been so for the last, 5 or 6 years at least, that the bees have been disappearing. She's actually right. The bees seem to be getting disoriented by something. Now, a lot of people blame the HARP network, the low-frequency waves being... Yeah, so they say, you know, HARP is disorienting the bees. But, cell phones could do it, too. Matter of fact, if we could see electromagnetic waves, we probably would be blinded by the light. There's so many waves. Just, you know, we're buried or swimming or whatever you want to call it in a sea of electromagnetic energy that's artificially created. Now, what that does to living organisms, I don't know, but something tells me it's not all good.
Fabrizio, I think it's that the bees, now that they have their own cell phones, they're just going off to different places and hiding out there.
Mm-hmm. They're all going to New Mexico.
It's a safe place.
That's
funny.
Cute. That was cute.
Please come, I'll keep you.
At least the bees are listening.
Right.
That is smarter, huh?
They're going to the underground native American areas in New Mexico.
Right. I mean, even the thing is, like, even if it's true that the bees are affected by electromagnetic waves and the low frequency and the cell phones, I mean, even if all that is true, like, you don't even need to go that subtle to see the problems we've created. All you have to do is look at the millions of gallons of poison that we drop on the land every year. And the fact that, like, can you imagine? I could not believe it when I found this out. Can you imagine that this natural system that God has created where bees naturally pollinate and allow crops to grow for you, nature made it so easy. You just plant and they do the rest. And now it's gotten to the point that they have to hire beekeepers to truck in bees for 1 month and then truck them out again and do that all over the country. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that they survive because of the way that we treat the land. Like, that is so unbelievable to me. I just cannot comprehend it.
And I've got to say, Noor, I put that article as well as Maitreya's article on Babylon the Great on Care 2, and your article has gotten quite a few hits. So people are interested.
They like it better if it's not religious, unfortunately. I've noticed that a lot of times.
Yes,
it's
true.
It's a pressing issue, but it doesn't mention religion too much. They'll be more interested. Mm-hmm. But But still, let's get the message out. I guess it's good. So,
I'm sitting next to eight seedlings here that are about 6-8 inches tall now, organic tomato seedlings, and just to have them sitting here on my desk because I've been kind of put them under a couple little lights to give them a little extra light, and just watching them grow is just amazing. I mean, you can see that miracle, and you can see that, you know, a little sprout come up, and then I put them in a little bit bigger container, and just to sit there and watch them grow, and I didn't tell them anything. All I did was put them in some soil.
That's right. It's just amazing.
Actually, one of the pressing part of the mission is to save the seeds on Earth.
That's another thing. That's another thing that I haven't gotten to yet, but it'll be in a future article, you know. Scientists are obsessed with evolution and how, you know, everything adapts to its environment, and that once you're in the environment, then things get selected for. That's like so much of the base of their you know, theories. They put God out and they use evolution. And then despite that, they can't realize that if they buy seeds from somewhere else every year, that it destroys evolution. Like, it doesn't allow the plants to evolve to that environment. Like, that should be so clear, but it's not. So it's just crazy. Anyway.
Well, what about genetically modified seeds? I'm not really sure how they genetically modify a seed, but I know the reason for it is to get things to grow. For instance, you can get bigger, fatter, plumper tomatoes from modified tomato seeds, and you can get wheat that's grows faster and produces more seeds from, or not seeds, but flax from modified seeds. And commercial beef is fed a chemical protein compound that fattens them up quicker. So instead of having to wait 2 or 3 years to take a steer to market to slaughter it, they can do it in like a year and a half, because the chemical that they're feeding the steer is making it grow faster. Of course, then people eat that meat, and we look around and wonder why there's so many heavy people around. Well, we're eating food that was designed to make the cow fat, so we eat the cow, and passes right through.
The fact is that they're playing with something they know almost nothing about. Like, if you really talk to a genetic scientist, they will eventually admit that they really don't know very much. That it's just the very beginning of understanding. And they're acting like they know all about it, and they can make these decisions and change things forcefully, and it's not going to cause problems. And that is just ridiculous. Can everyone take their microphones away from their mouth? Like, make sure that they're not touching anything, because there's a lot of background noise of people hitting their mics and stuff.
Yeah, I noticed, Ma, I think you might be having a problem with your mic.
But yeah, it's they don't do it naturally. The natural way of genetic changes is through, like, evolution, through reproduction. It's not through. They forcefully stick things into the plant, and then they have no idea what the consequences are, and they act like it's going to be fine. And then, of course, it breeds with other plants, and the fear is that there will be no non-genetically modified plants left, because, you know, you can't stop seeds from spreading. You grow genetically modified crops in your field, and the seeds blow to the other field, or the pollen blows, and it happens all over the world, and pretty soon everything is messed up. It's the same as nuclear. They're playing with things they have no idea about, and they're acting like it's all right. It's not.
Yeah, that's interesting, because...
And we know from reading our thought... I was going to say, so we know from reading our thoughts that the DNA is tied to the spirit. And so when humans start manipulating that and changing that, then that's unnatural.
It's a very good point. Didn't think of that.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, I agree with you that this whole genetically modified food production is sort of a work in progress. But the government is passing more laws to make the use of these seeds mandatory.
Yes.
Because they're resistant to some other type of things that might be dangerous for us. So it's just like taking some prescription drugs to cure one set of illnesses, and you read the side effects, and the side effects are worse than the thing you're taking the drug for in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's like you might not die from the illness, but the cure will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you know what they're making those genetically modified plants for? Is that they're resistant to the herbicides, so the chemical company can sell the herbicide so they can spray it in the rows and kill the weeds. That's just amazing. That's awful.
Yeah. That's. I don't think I have to read my articles anymore. I think we're just going to
And having
everything.
Just come off a visit with...
Go ahead, Brett.
And having come off a visit with my conspiracy cousin, who I'm willing to bet has every conspiracy covered that Vigrizo's thinking of, and probably 10 more. That as part of it all has to do with the contrails that they're spraying up in the air, and this genetically modified is Monsanto and the other large corporations making it so that we will be so dependent upon their types seeds that we don't have any other choice.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and a former director of Monsanto is now the director of the Agriculture Department.
Yes.
Secretary of Agriculture used to be the director of Monsanto.
Yes, there's a great overlap. Go ahead, Kesha.
That's why you have to come together and stop this madness. No, so many things has gone wrong. No matter where you put your finger, you find it has gone wrong. That's
right.
Why you have to come together and stop it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, those contrails are genetically modifying us as we speak. Those contrails are really bad stuff, and I just totally agree. We have to come together, and, you know, I'm headed to come together. So anybody else who needs a place, you just let us know.
Just follow the bees.
The contrails are a natural thing. Contrails are condensation coming out from the vapor produced by a jet engine. Chemtrails, what we're really talking about, chemtrails don't come out of the engines. When you watch the chemtrails being laid down in the sky, you realize that they're coming out of, I looked at them, watched the airplanes through binoculars, and they're obviously coming out of vents, not from the engines, but they're definitely coming out of spray vents.
Right.
You know, not commercial aircraft like they've been claiming. Anyhow, yeah, the chemtrails is another one of these things that it's easy to find pages and pages of information, but nowhere can you find an explanation.
Okay, I guess a lot of people call them contrails, but I guess they are chemtrails. I know my doctor refers to them as contrails, but he talks about, you know, the chemicals and so forth in them. But I see what you mean, the difference there.
Yeah, and when you look up in the sky, a contrail will exist, you know, several hundred feet behind the aircraft, and it dissipates fairly quickly. There's no residue. But the chemtrails spread from horizon to horizon and spread out until the entire sky is white. They sort of merge, so there's definitely a difference. If you watch an aircraft emitting contrails in close proximity to one sending out chemtrails, the difference is obvious.
And the way to break their power is to come together and become self-sufficient. They can't do anything to you after that.
And it's great to hear you all. It's really great to hear you all talk like this. It's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a nice fresh breeze. so different than out there.
So we know the problems, and we know our mission and our path. I guess there's nothing else to say.
But I know from this winter, it's much more enjoyable face-to-face.
Well, let's all do it face to face.
Sounds good. We are ready.
Actually, if all of you came here, you can make a center, and every evening after work, you all can come and give sad songs and talk about the mission and discuss and
the REO.
Yes, and all that.
Yep.
Well, if that really happens, you could get me off the farm. I'd come out there for that.
Vibrizo, I have a recommendation for you before going to the farm. You have to completely empty your cup before you can treat the whole dough. So fill yourself with God and the Spirit and completely forget whatever you know. Let God fill you up. Okay?
I understand exactly what you're saying. Yes. Being away from the computer and all electronic influences, including cell phones, for a number of months, I think will be a good thing for me.
Great. Good luck.
Thank you.
All righty, everyone. It was a fantastic meeting. And is there anything else to say?
Yeah, just real quick, I said when you're talking about emptying the cup, I got a small wooden bowl from a monastery there at the end of the trail in Nepal, and I have it sitting on my desk. And as much as things get cluttered up and I put things here and put things there, I never put anything in that bowl as that reminder.
That's good. It was good to hear you again.
Yes, it was. It was good to see everybody. We're glad you all came.
Yeah. Salam, everyone.
Salam, everyone.
Salam.
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 Thanks, God. Salam.